Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 399 of The Law Entrepreneur. One more to go before 400. I'm Neil Tyree, your host, as usual. Today, I'm playing a little hurt, very much under the weather over the holidays here. I know a lot of people are, so I apologize for the quality of my voice. But I did want to put an episode out here from back in our archives. And this is something that I've been thinking about a lot for the upcoming new year, and that is to double down on my email marketing efforts, both for my law firm and for The Law Entrepreneur. And so back in episode 146, which ironically was aired originally on the 27th of January of 2019, 27th of January being my birthday, I spoke with Tom Tate from AWeber, and we talk about all things email marketing related through his affiliation with a company called AWeber. AWeber is the platform I still use to this day for all my email marketing needs. And as I said, my goal for 2024 is to double down and to improve my email marketing scheme. So with that in mind, let's revisit episode 146 and get our heads around the topic of email marketing.
Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 146 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host once again. And today my guest is Tom Tate. Tom is a marketing specialist with a company called AWeber, which is the makers of a very successful and very much used email service provider, sometimes referred to as an autoresponder. And we're going to clean up those definitions right in the very beginning. But I use AWeber both for my law firm practice as well as for my podcast business. And I will freely admit, as you'll hear me say, I'm only barely scratching the surface of the power of a platform such as AWeber. And I think a lot of people, a lot of attorneys who are forward thinking and are trying to take advantage of email marketing would be well advised to use a product such as AWeber or one of its competitors, or there are many out there, to implement email marketing programs. So I wanted to get somebody on from AWeber to talk about it and how you might use it in your practice and to grow your business. So without any further delay, here's my friend Tom Tate. Tom Tate, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much. I'm super excited to be here.
Well, I'm really stoked to have you here, Tom. This is a subject area that I've been wanting to cover for a while, so I'm really excited about it. But before we do, tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Yeah, no problem. So my name is Tom Tate. I am from just outside Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and I work for a company called AWeber. We're an email service provider, and I'm on the marketing team there. And it's been awesome. I've been there for about 5 years. I've been doing digital marketing for just about 10 years. And I'm super, super excited and obsessed with email marketing, which is the topic we'll cover today, I'm sure. But yeah, I'm really, really interested in helping small business owners, anybody, any niche, any field, connect with their audience through the inbox.
Well, you've already covered my initial question here. So let me just backtrack one second to do a little disclaimer and make a point known to the audience that I am an AWeber client. I have been a happy AWeber client for some years now, although I'm going to freely admit I'm only scratching the surface of using the product. And one of the reasons I want to talk to an expert such as yourself is to get a better insight on what I'm missing in terms of being able to do things with AWeber. And one of the first questions I was going to ask is, let's clear up some terminology. What do we call AWeber? What kind of application is it? And you've said it's an email service provider. Now, that's not to be confused with the folks who create your email account, your business account, the Neil Tyra at Tyra Law Firm or Neil at thelawentrepreneur.com, correct?
That's correct. Yeah. So email service provider, I guess it is a bit of a dated term, but it's kind of the blanket term for a lot of the different types of software out there that does what we do. So when I'm having just a kind of loose conversation and people ask, you know, what does AWeber do? I typically say that we are a suite of tools that help you grow your business through email marketing. So we give you all the tools that you need to send one-time email newsletters. So if you send a weekly or a monthly newsletter, we give you all the tools to help you do that. But we also give you the tools to send automated emails. So if you want to send kind of a sequence of emails, and we'll talk a little bit about email automation, I'm sure, but email automation tools so that you can kind of dip your toes into marketing automation, which it sounds a lot scarier than it is. It's super easy to get into and super accessible. And then we also give you all the tools you need to manage your contacts. So as you're building your email list, as people are signing up to hear from you, we give you a great interface to see all of your subscribers. You can add notes, you can add tags. You can see which emails they opened, which emails they read, what links they clicked on. A lot of exciting stuff to help you get closer and closer to building a strong relationship with each and every person who wants to connect with you on the web.
Well, I can already hear some folks in the audience getting the heebie-jeebies over, sure. Gee, what does that mean? So, I mean, help me to understand, you know, the email or the inbox is the bane of every attorney's existence, I think, at times. You know, there are attorneys such, and I count myself amongst them, you know, who come into the office and we spend just an enormous amount of time responding to emails. And by the time I get all that done, you know, half the day is gone. So, you know, with that kind of understanding in mind, what is the importance or what is the role of email marketing in a business such as a solo or small firm law practice?
Yeah, I can kind of break it down into two specific use cases that I think would be valuable for your listeners. So I think it's important to think about kind of that journey that your potential customer is going to go through. So your potential client in finding somebody local or somebody accessible to solve the problem that they're looking for. So if they need a specific type of lawyer or if they need a specific type of firm to help them with a problem, they're typically going to start with Google. They might start with word of mouth. They might ask for referrals. But if they don't get referrals, they might just Google for a specific solution in their area if they want to talk face-to-face with someone. And they might find a couple of different options. So you might be one of those options. Your competitors, the other people in your space, might be options as well. And when somebody arrives at your website, if you present them with just information about what you do and how you do it and who you serve, and a contact box, right? Just a simple form to contact you or maybe your contact information. It's a bit of a dead end. I mean, they're going to make a decision whether or not they want to reach out to you and start the conversation. But that might be the end of it for that particular person's journey. But what we see with a lot of people in a lot of different industries leveraging AWeber specifically, if they come to your website, and they see a sign up form for an email list. And a lot of people these days, it's 2019, very few people wake up in the morning and say, I really want to receive more emails, you know?
Exactly.
So it's very rare that somebody's going to go to a website and say, oh, I can receive Neil's email newsletter. Of course, I want Neil's email newsletter if they just stumbled on your site for the first time. They're probably not going to do that. They don't know you yet. they're not going to just hand over their email address. What we see that works really, really well for a lot of different industries and law specifically as well, if you can provide them with valuable content that solves a bit of the problem or helps clarify a bit of the problem that they came to your site to solve in the first place, that is an opportunity to really automate the beginnings of a conversation with potential clients. So a good example of this would be if you practice family law, for example, and somebody comes to your site and you know there's a specific problem that they're probably looking to solve. Instead of having that sign up form that says, sign up for my email newsletter, sign up for the 5 most important things that you need to know before you do X. And then that X, of course, fill in the blank with whatever practice you do, right? So it's an opportunity for you to directly call out a piece of value that you can provide. And when somebody signs up for that, when somebody puts in their name and their email address, they can get entered into what we call an automated sequence. You might have heard the term an autoresponder. And what this does is it will drip out content over time. So if somebody signs up today, you might send a welcome email right now. And then tomorrow you might send the first of the 5 tips or the 5 tactics or the 5 pieces of information that you offered. And then the next day you might send number 2, then the day after that, number 3. So you're slowly building kind of a relationship over time. You're sending valuable content. You're getting that lead. So you're capturing that name and that email address of the person who initially hit your website, who was previously anonymous, just an anonymous site visitor who willingly gave you their information. And then you can follow up with them. You can follow up with them with newsletters, or you can follow up with them directly. So it's an opportunity, again, just to really start conversations at scale. So that's one example. Do you think that is clear enough for the listeners?
Yeah, it really hits a lot of buttons here. I'm going to just diverge for a second.
Sure.
I just read an article this morning about a report on trends in the legal industry. This is a report that's put out annually at the Clio conference. Clio is a practice management cloud-based software platform. And one of the conclusions in that report was just how potential clients engage with potential law firms for business. And one of the areas that is most ripe for addressing is education. You know, the client doesn't really know what it is they don't know, and they really want to ask an attorney a few questions. And on the other hand, you have an attorney who's like, I can't answer a bunch of questions on the phone because I've got work to do. I've got a business to build, and so we have this sticking point. And something like AWeber and an automated sequence where you can address that potential client's very first question that they may have and then answer subsequent questions that typically our potential clients always ask us anytime when they want to talk to us about engaging our services. If you can automate that, now you've systematized that whole process, and you've created value and content for the potential client, and you've done so in a way that saves you time and money and meets your potential client's needs. And as you say, that's the gateway to fostering a relationship.
Yeah, and you also, you quickly mentioned something that is huge, which is the saving of time. I mean, once you can take back that time to reinvest in other aspects of your business or serving current clients, because you know, it's important to note too that a lot of the people who first visit your site, they're not paying clients yet, even if they sent that initial inquiry. So once you start to automate that, you can really focus your time, your energy, and your efforts on the activities that are really going to move your business forward, you know, move your practice forward. So I think that's definitely something that I would recommend is, you know, dip your toes in this style of email automation. The other thing too is even after the automated sequences, just sending a monthly newsletter that is engaging to your previous clients, it helps with that word of mouth referral aspect of it too. So if somebody goes on Facebook and says, I'm really in need of a copyright lawyer, you know, even if somebody did business with you 2 years ago. If they're still actively on your email list and they're still actively, your name is still actively kind of bubbling up on their in their inbox, they'll be more likely to remember you, to refer you, to note your authority and credibility. So there's an aspect of staying top of mind by sending ongoing emails even after that automated sequence.
Yeah, I think, you know, one of my mentors one time has said to me when we were talking about newsletters is that he asked a client, you know, how is it that you know we made contact 2 years ago? Why is it that you just now reached out to me personally to engage our services? And the potential client said, well, it was those newsletters. They just kept piling up in my inbox. Sure. And, I kept thinking about you every month. I would say, got to get around to doing that estate plan with Neil. And so that you can't always look for an exact return on your investment right away, but you know that fostering that relationship over the course of time is going to have benefits.
Yeah, you know, a good story that I tell, and this is a quick one. When I bought my first home, I had a wonderful woman service our mortgage. And then after that, I was on her email list. And I was on her email list for quite some time. And I had no need for an additional mortgage. But for whatever reason, I didn't unsubscribe. She later kind of turned over her practice and her email list subsequently to a gentleman that I've never met before. But he started sending me emails after that. And, you know, maybe a year or two went by. And then when someone was asking, hey, do you know anyone that could help service my mortgage? I would always refer to this gentleman that I never even spoke to before. But, you know, he was sending me good emails that, you know, clearly the content was credible. And he was associated with someone who was credible. So in many cases, you might get a referral indirectly in some opportunities like that as well.
All right. So let's say I want to go ahead and set up an automated sequence to address, you know, the initial inquiry, the visitor who comes to my site, and I've got some kind of killer lead magnet, something that will entice them to exchange their email address in order to start that conversation. Now I've got to come up with a series of emails. And, you know, and first off, I should also say, these aren't necessarily or don't necessarily have to be just static text-only emails. There's a lot of vibrancy and flexibility in terms of the content you can provide using the platform. But it's still a bit of a blank slate for me. And that's intimidating to me.
Yeah, I definitely think that it can be intimidating. I typically recommend just a quick 3-email sequence that I can break down for you quickly. And it'll vary based on, you know, what kind of content you create. So you have a backlog of podcast episodes. So there is a wealth of content there that you can pull from to share with your new audience members. And likewise, depending upon what type of content marketing some of your listeners may have dabbled in the past, it might be blog posts, it might be articles, it might be videos. So maybe you have some listeners who have experimented with YouTube. So there's an opportunity for you to share some of that content. So the first email, I always recommend sending a strong welcome email. So that would be kind of who you are, what you do, short, to the point, but welcome somebody to your list. They made the decision to exchange their email address, their personal information for your value, for your information. So welcome them, thank them for subscribing. And then if you have that, you called it a lead magnet. So if you had that incentive that you offered, so maybe that's the 5 questions that you need answered, or maybe it's a PDF or a checklist or some type of cheat sheet. If you had a piece of content that you offered at the subscription point, at the signup form, you can deliver that in the welcome email as well. The second automated email I recommend, I call it your greatest hits. So everyone has a greatest hits. And this is kind of like your, I'm dating myself here, but kind of like your mixtape. So if you had a cassette mixtape back in the day where you kind of put all your favorite songs on one particular mix, you bundled it up and you gave it to somebody who meant something to you, you kind of want to do that here. So for your podcast, for example, you know, you're over 140 episodes at this point. So if I'm new to you, Neil, and I'm new to your content, and I see that you have all these podcast episodes, I would think that's really awesome and that's great, but I don't even know where to start. So if you sent me an automated email in that initial sequence that said, you know, I've been podcasting for a couple of years, here are my three best episodes, you know, or here are my three most listened to episodes or my favorite content, I think you would appreciate these ones. You've done the curation for me. So you've kind of went into your archive and you've pulled out some of your most valuable content. Because you have to remember, if somebody's new on your email list, they've never had an opportunity to engage with you or see what you've done in the past. So this is an opportunity for you to really share that and bubble that up to the top. So, you know, if you create content, share your best content. If you don't create content, share some of the valuable things that you've done in the past. So if you offer any type of local services, if you volunteer anywhere, like these are opportunities for you to show people how you help others and how you can help them specifically. So I consider that kind of the greatest hits mixtape. And then after that, I recommend asking for some type of micro commitment. So if it's, you know, reply to this email and let me know if there's any services that you need help with. And again, this is something that you can tread lightly in if you're dreading kind of that inbox in every morning. You have a lot of information that you need to parse through. But I always recommend at some point in your automated sequence, inviting somebody to email you back and inviting somebody to really crack open that automated conversation into a real one-to-one conversation so that you can really start to see if this is a potential client, if this is a potential opportunity for a kind of a paid relationship, right?
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and can answer in English and Spanish, and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, Lexicata, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's 5 or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. But how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top-line revenue to bottom-line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client, and I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com.
Well, I can see, you know, just put this in the context of, say, a small or solo law firm practice, you know, your greatest hits could be the three questions you get asked most about divorce or custody or estate planning, or it could be the three blog posts that have got the most traction on my law firm's website that describe what we do and how we do it. And the commitment, you know, can be something as simple as here's a link to schedule a one-on-one, you know, face-to-face meeting with our intake specialist or the attorney in our firm. And if you use an automated scheduler, you can even, you know, make that step frictionless, so to speak.
Yeah. And if you automate that, like you said, with like a Calendly or a schedule once, I mean, everything just becomes perfectly seamless where, you know, people are visiting, you know, previously anonymous website visitors who would, you know, hit your website and they would make a decision. I'm going to leave and go with contact a competitor or I'm going to pick up the phone and call. It now turns into, you know, what most marketers would call a funnel. You know, it turns into kind of this journey that your customers are now going on, where they're going to subscribe to your list. They're going to receive some valuable content, get to know you better. So they know you better and they know your answered frequently asked questions before they even speak to you. So they're going to be more educated. They're going to be more integrated into your process and understand kind of who you are and how you do things. And then all of a sudden, like you said, that intake specialist might just start seeing leads come in and seeing opportunities come in each day when they come into work.
Yeah, one of the things I think is important for us as providers of legal services to the community is to make it as easy as possible for people to accept your help. I mean, if they've reached out to you in any fashion, gone to your website, clicked on the link, and then entered their email address, you still want to make it as easy as possible for them to keep moving forward. And that's why I think something like, as you said, an automated link to your calendar program will make things even easier. Talk about conditional branching. Is there a way to kind of take that contact and then move them into a different chain or a different funnel of email messages based on a response or a tag or something along those lines? I know AWeber has tags, but I'll be honest with you, I've not even begun to look at what that means.
Yeah, there definitely is. And let's talk about that briefly, because I think that that's a great opportunity for somebody who practices different types of law or different offers different services within their practice. So within that automated sequence, and typically we would actually recommend you do this at the welcome email, because the first email that you send, it typically has the highest open rate. So you're most likely to get the engagement that you need in this email. But you can basically, you can say, click on the link that applies most to you. So within that email, you might have one or two or three links, very short, simple statements, first person statements that you want that subscriber to self-identify why they came to your website, why they're seeking your content, why they're seeking your services. So a good example of this might be, and I'm probably going to use the wrong terminology here, but if you practice copyright law and somebody signs up for your automated sequence and they have two statements, one is, you know, someone is violating my copyright and I want to file a complaint, or somebody filed a complaint against me. So you might have two totally separate personas, two totally separate use cases for why somebody might want to contact you and seek your services. So depending upon those selections, you can tag the subscriber based on the link that they clicked. And then from that tag, you can move them into a different sequence. So you can actually end up, after that first email, send two divergent automated email sequences with two totally different series of content and series of information that speaks directly to the problem they're trying to solve. So again, you're building a much stronger relationship because you're sending contextual content, contextual information based on that initial selection. And then of course, if no one makes a selection, if the subscriber does not make a selection, you can keep them in a generic series. And you can continue to provide that valuable content. It just won't be as personalized.
Yeah, that's what I kind of thought the capability offered. And so basically you can actually, instead of having one gigantic email list of everybody who's ever provided you their email address, you can actually segment that list according to a variety of different factors. Is there a limitation on how you can do that, or can you get as creative and as nested as you want?
Our engineers might tell us there's a limitation, like in the thousands, right? But for the most part, your creativity.
From a practical standpoint.
Yeah, from a practical standpoint, you know, maybe the databases start overflowing, but for the most part, your creativity is pretty boundless. And we do that using tags. So you can manage your tags through automated actions. So when someone clicks a link, you can add a tag. When somebody opens an email, you can add a tag. You can remove tags as well. But then you can also go into AWeber and you can manually add and remove tags. So if somebody calls you on the phone and you learn that, you know, they're interested in this particular service or this particular type of law, then you can go in and manually add that tag or remove.
Well, you know, one of the questions that this raises in my mind is the fear that this just becomes another database that I have to manage. I already have a case management tool that handles everything with respect to the clients that do engage me and how I'm going to relate to them post-engagement. So is there a way to integrate AWeber with other platforms to try and minimize the amount of manual processing that has to be performed in order to keep multiple databases up to date?
Yeah, there definitely is. So if you head to our website, and if you just Google AWeber, it might be the easiest way, or go to aweber.com. We have an integrations section. So we have hundreds of integrations. So we might actually have a direct integration with a service that you're using.
Oh, okay.
But then we also, we integrate with Zapier. And Zapier is kind of a middleman integration that integrates as almost a hub between even hundreds more integrations that we don't directly integrate with. So there's always an opportunity, I think, to connect with software. And we have an integrations team. So if you find that we don't integrate at all, feel free to reach out to us and we'll see what we can do. But yeah, there's definitely ways that you can have AWeber and your subscriber database and the actions that are happening in AWeber speak to other platforms and vice versa. But then also, if all of this seems really daunting, you could really just use AWeber as that initial relationship starting point, and really just use it as that basic automated sequence to try to get people from that anonymous web traffic to somebody who's ready to have a conversation with you.
Well, let's go back then to that blank slate. So now I got a sense of how I'm going to be able to use AWeber and what I might use it for. I know from my experience that there are a number of forms that one can use to create emails, messages, forms that provide, as I said, with graphics and with video, if you so choose. And you could have a plain text form, plain text email. But you can really make some beautiful, really eye-catching and really interesting emails from the forms that are available on AWeber. So you guys spend a lot of time working in that area, don't you?
Yeah, we do, definitely. We're always trying to optimize the way that your emails look and how easy it is for you to build them. So super easy to build. We kind of have a drag and drop email builder. Yeah. So you can just drag and drop elements. So if you want to drag a video element in, you can do that. If you want to drag a paragraph and just start typing, you can do that too.
Yeah, one of the things I'm starting to experiment with here that I think has a lot of potential is to embed some very short videos into that email sequence so that you get the benefit of the email drip campaign and you also get the personalization of a video, very short, that people who, you know, don't want to slog through reading a long form message, they can just watch a 2-minute video and get a lot of content from that. And I think that is very powerful.
I totally agree. If you have content in other mediums, so if it's a podcast, or if it's video, sending a really short and simple email that's basically just says, you know, I have this piece of content here. It's going to solve this problem or answer this question or provide you with this valuable content. All you have to do is click here and you just have that video thumbnail. In some cases, we've seen customers take a screenshot of their podcast player and put that in the email too. So you just click on the screenshot of the podcast player and it takes you right to the webpage that has the play button ready to be clicked on. It's a great opportunity just to move people from the inbox to your valuable content that you're already creating somewhere else.
Yeah. And using, coupling it with that tag feature that you mentioned, you can give the appearance to the potential client or customer that they're actually getting tailored video responses based on, you know, their previous actions.
We always recommend when you're going to ask your subscribers to self-identify. So the example I gave earlier where they would click those first person I statements, always let them know that the reason you're asking that is because you want to give them a more tailored experience. So customers, prospects, subscribers, they like to know that you're listening and you're iterating, you're changing what you send based on their needs. So I definitely recommend call that out when you can. And when you send that email, say, hey, because you were interested in X, here is why. And it's a good opportunity just to let them know that you are personalizing it for them on their behalf.
Yeah, and that helps build that relationship and helps makes the decision to engage you just that much easier because the potential client feels like that you're truly speaking to them. And you are in a way. I mean, you've thought this whole process out. The fact that you're using that same video or that same email for other potential clients is immaterial because if you were doing it live, you'd be saying or doing the same thing.
Yeah. And you know, it's really important just to think through, especially with the automation piece of it. You still want to feel human, right? You still want your emails to feel like they are delivered by a human being, even though they're sent automatically and they were kind of drafted and saved in this automated campaign. So anytime that you can make your emails feel or sound more genuine and authentic, I absolutely recommend just kind of giving them the once over and making sure that, you know, does this feel like it came from me as a human being, as an individual, or a representative of the practice, and not from kind of an automated bot. So anytime that you receive that hi first name email where the first name personalization got botched, so instead of saying hi Tom, it says hi, you know, F name or first name, question mark or dollar sign, that immediately takes you out of that personal relationship where you felt like you're receiving valuable tailored content to you. So, you know, while we have a lot of measures in place so that you don't accidentally do that, you know, it's important to make sure that your content isn't accidentally doing that too by either sounding too generic or automated.
Yeah, you know, as a person who dabbles in this space a lot, I'm on a lot of email lists. And the ones I stay on the longest, even though I know they're automated lists, are the ones that sound genuine, that sound like they're written in the first person, that make me actually feel like I'm getting to know that person. The ones that sound like they're simply, you know, from the sales marketing team, however good they may be at copywriting, are the ones usually that I don't stay with very long.
Yeah, another tip to you in the welcome email, I see this a lot and I recommend it too, is in the PS of the welcome email, it's always nice to say, by the way, I'm a real person and this is my real email address. If you ever need anything, just hit reply to any of my emails and I'll get back to you or I'll read your email. The worst thing that could happen is everyone who gets your emails are sending you responses, right? And you can't keep up. And if that's the worst thing that happens, that might actually be a good problem to have.
Yeah, that's a good problem.
But you can just go back and you can edit the email to remove that PS. So I always recommend putting that in there because 9 times out of 10, people are not going to reply to you, even if you put that in there. But it's going to communicate to them right at the beginning of the relationship that you are a real person, you are accessible. One of the things big brands do is they have do not reply at mydomain.com as the from name. And that's a closed door. And I always recommend, you know, email at the personal level, email when you're in a small business or a small practice. It shouldn't be a closed door. I mean, it should be an open door.
Right? Absolutely.
So I think it's an opportunity for you to not only put that at the forefront with your from name being, you know, Neil at mydomain.com rather than contact at mydomain.com or admin at mydomain.com. Yeah. So little things like that might seem trivial, but what it is it's little signals, little communication cues to your subscribers just to let them know, you know, that you're a likable, relatable, accessible person on the other end of the message.
You know, all of this brings up another point that I wanted to touch upon for a bit. You know, one of my biggest concerns about introducing new technology into my workflow as a law firm owner is, you know, am I going to have to spend a ton of time learning this platform in order to be able to get something of value out of it? And, or I, am I going to have somebody on my staff or hire somebody? And if that is the case, if I'm going to have to spend some time, what resources does the platform have to help educate me? And I think this is actually, I'm going to toot your horn a little bit because I think this is really one of the very strong points of AWeber. You guys have a blog and a knowledge base that is second to none. The fact that I haven't scratched more than the surface is really more on me than the platform. If you want to learn about copywriting and email marketing and design and how to create a newsletter, there is a ton of information on your website, in your blog. And I just think that, look, even if you're not going to use the platform, I hope you do, but even if you don't, if you just want to learn something about that subject area, email marketing, there really is very few places you can go to get the kind of content that you guys produce on a darn near daily basis.
Yeah, I really appreciate that. That's high praise for sure. Our blog has been around, I believe, for 13 years.
Yeah.
And our AWeber has been around for a little over 20 years. So I think a lot of it comes from, it's kind of in our DNA. So email, email marketing and kind of being in touch with the industry and best practices has been in our DNA since the beginning. And then customer support and really customer success has been in our DNA as well. So I think over the past 2 weeks, I've done about 10 to 12 hours of customer consultation calls, which for a company of our size, it really doesn't scale, but right, it's really important to us. So really spending that kind of hands-on time and one-on-one time with our users to make sure that they understand how they can best build their business and build relationships with their prospects, their customers, and their audience. It's very personal. I mean, we're talking about specific examples here with law firms and practices. But I was talking to a food blogger yesterday, and you know, the principles are the same, but the actual tangible examples are totally different. But it's a great opportunity just to kind of connect. So I appreciate that for sure.
No, it's very true because you know, I have other platforms that I use, one that'll go nameless at the moment. But every time I try and do something on that platform, I have to go to try and find out how to do it. It's not intuitive. Is there a video that shows me how to do it? Is there instructions on their website that shows me how to do it? And invariably, I spend hours trying to figure out, and I end up not doing anything because of that. And I will say that it's completely opposite for AWeber. There's tons of resources available, and tons of articles, and video about integrations and how to use the tool more effectively. And I just, that's a part I think that a lot of vendors don't pay enough attention to, but it's terribly important for the user community.
Yeah, we totally agree. And we have 24/7 live chat support too. So we have phone support, but then also you can chat with us at any time.
Another discriminator. Really, yeah, right there.
Yeah. So,
Tom, well, awesome. I want to thank you for taking the time to be with us today. And, you know, I hope that some of our listeners who have been toying with the idea, how do I get involved in doing automated sequencing of email messages and then otherwise, you know, put my toe, as you say, into email marketing. I hope that they will take a look at AWeber. Again, I'm not getting paid for this. I've been a subscriber, an AWeber client for a long time. It was the platform that I chose, and I hope other people will follow suit. How can they go about connecting with you, Tom, if they want to follow up on anything that we've touched upon today?
Yeah, for sure. So if you're interested in AWeber, check out aweber.com. That's AWEBER.com. But really, contact me. Twitter is one of the best ways to just follow me and keep in touch with me. My Twitter handle is TNRT. And my inbox is open, tomt@aweber.com, if you want to email me. If you listen to the show, if you have questions, you can email me. I do not care what email service provider or marketing platform you use. I will be happy to help you kickstart things. So if you use a different provider, no harm, no foul, send me an email if you have questions, and I'll be happy to brainstorm and help you get things moving.
Yeah, and I know for a fact you guys do that all the time. So, I mean, it's just remarkable. Tom, thanks ever so much for being on The Law Entrepreneur. I hope to have you back again sometime.
Thank you, Neil. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them, and I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.